Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Bradley Wiggins Show by Eurosport. Joined as ever by Matt Stevens. Matt, we're in Albertville.
We are.
Albertville.
We're
next to McDonald's, and we thought we were next. So should we just talk through the McDonald's?
Let's talk through the McDonald's, because there's history there.
Yeah. First off, the food. A little bit disappointing.
Yeah, it was
that the plastic cartons, my chips were soggy, but my burger was okay.
Nuggets weren't too bad.
Nuggets were nuggets, weren't they?
Because
they
were it was very disappointing.
It was disappointing, wasn't it?
The whole service, flies, wasps, it was a hole.
But more significantly, it's a McDonald's we've been to before in 2019, Brad.
Yeah, I've been here a few times, actually, this one. But that one in particular, yeah, we come in. I think it was the day we came down off Val Thorens when there's a landslide and team.
Awful day, wasn't it?
No, it was the team day, actually.
That's right, yeah, it was, yeah.
And, yeah, it was. We were in there with, some of our colleagues were in there, weren't they? We were sadly not with us anymore, a few of those. You know, Chris Ankosaurus and Richard Moore was in there.
Yeah,
it was a few podcast crews in there, wasn't there?
Yep.
So that was 3 years ago, wasn't it?
We actually did the pod in the van, and then we nearly aquaplaned because it was so. And then we had
because Pete
had
was
food.
Driving one-handed drinking yacht, and he nearly aquaplaned.
I think Pete's laughing. He's giggling in the background
because he knows it's true.
Nearly aquaplaned, and your lad was in the car in with us as well.
He was.
He was. He's massive into yacht as well. Your lad, isn't he?
He's a big yacht fan.
Yeah. But and then the little Colombian bloke was freezing cold. I gave him my like hoodie, and then he put it on and rode off.
Yeah. He was in a bad way, wasn't he?
He was. It was a freezing cold day. That was.
But disappointingly, there's no McFlurries in there, were there? So no. McDonald's, if you're listening.
Well, the thing that was a bit
sort it out.
It had us on tenterhooks. You know that big iPad thing. We were scrolling down, and it got to dessert, and there was like I don't know, some sort
big
of cake.
iPad thing. It was itself was disgusting, wasn't it? It said it was COVID central, that McDonald's.
It wasn't the best, was it?
No, it was horrible.
But
it's
they said they had Oreo flipping ice creams, and they didn't. Yeah. And it was disappointing. Nothing in reception.
Nothing. It's not great, is it?
So we're craving pudding, aren't we? What we could do is just jump in the back of Jumbo Visma's food coach.
We could do it, but we might give them COVID because we've just got it off the screen in McDonald's.
We could wash our hands thoroughly, though.
We could wash our hands thoroughly, but the whole, speaking of COVID, we have a few losses in the race today.
George Bennett didn't start, did he?
Yeah. And, of course, there was talk about Rafał Majka, who was positive, I believe, but...
He was positive, but it was under the amount that meant that he could actually start. So he is slightly COVID positive, which is a little bit weird. Somebody did ask, actually, Geraint Thomas, though, whether he was happy riding in the peloton with guys who technically have got COVID. And he said, well, it's going to be everywhere anyway. He was really pragmatic. He said, he's not bothered. It's not Rafa Micah's fault, is it?
I mean, I was talking to the mechanics actually earlier from Bahrain, and they were saying, can you imagine how many positive tests there are in this race, but they're not telling us? I mean, that's a bit of a conspiracy theory in itself, but we'll never know.
It wouldn't surprise me, Brad. I think as long... If you've got positive in your team, a key rider, and he's fine, he's asymptomatic. I'm no doctor, but just thinking aloud, because I've spoken to other teams, and there are... Nobody really knows what's going on.
No.
A little bit.
No, it's a bit... It's very blurry, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's a key lieutenant, because Bennett's been riding really well recently. And time will tell, because we're moving into the big, big mountains, because today was not... It's a semi-mountain stage, like a bit of an hors d'oeuvre, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And raced with real ferocity yet again, wasn't it? You were out there at the front. It was kicking off big time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. The first sort of hour was pretty much downhill, and we did go up a small climb, but it was very fast. And it didn't lend itself to getting a breakaway go, but eventually then the elastic broke and 25 riders went clear, seven of which had riders of two in there from those teams. They had some hitters in there, Luis Leon Sanchez, Philippe Gilbert, It was a good old group.
Yeah, Fred Wright. He's been flying,
Fred
hasn't
Wright's
he?
Fred Wright's been great. I'm well impressed with him. What a lovely lad as well.
Yeah, we had a chat with him because he ended up, I think Sanchez ended up third in the end, didn't he?
Yeah.
Magnus Cole Nielsen won. That was a good win. Flipping
amazing.
Heck.
I mean, when you think his tour, what he's done.
I know it's just been flat stick, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, thoroughly deserved, isn't it? Because he's had a tough start to the year as well, from what I understand. Jonathan Vettel was telling me the other day. But yeah, he's really impressed me this tour.
Yeah. That was a really well-timed win. I think it was the only... He just floated around, didn't he? Didn't jump away. He just waited, bided his time. And it was a real grovel to the line, but he took it.
Yeah. It's funny, actually. We're sat here now outside the patio of the Abyss in Albertville.
It's a new hotel, isn't it, as well?
We've got the Jumbo Visma staff all to our right having their dinner outside.
Yep.
And just 5 metres away in the room behind the doors there, we can see Wout van Aert having his dinner. He's wearing flip-flops at dinner.
Let me just have a little look. He's wearing flip-flops. Primoz Roglic is immediately sat to his right. Sepp Kuss, but he's sipping a brew, but he's got compression socks on.
And, man, you're making quite a scene here.
Yeah, no. They're involved in the pod. They're part of cycling, bro.
They're like goldfish in a bowl, the way you're looking at them.
No, just looking at them and just sussing them out, seeing how relaxed they are. Yeah. Seeing the different choices of footwear. Some wear compression socks, others don't. And that's interesting.
That is interesting. They were all the rage a couple of years ago.
They were.
They're almost the fashion. I don't think they actually do anything unless you're 75 and travelling on a long-haul flight.
Oh, I tell you what was lovely earlier on. You talked about the teams that are here, Jumbo-Visma and Bahrain. On the scene, the cycling circuit, the pro circuit, soigneurs move teams, managers move teams, riders move teams, mechanics move teams. And there's two real significant mechanics that were with you when you won the tour. Tell us about those, because they're lovely chaps.
They were with Sky. They were... There was four mechanics on the tour with Sky. The other one, Raj, is with Education First now. Lovely guy. And Diego Costa's still with Ineos. He's in the car every day, the first car with Steve Cummins. And the other two are here, Fernandez and Igor. They were lovely guys. They've all got yellow jerseys from that tour, you know. And he's telling me they still hang them up in their house and that. And... So I came down and just went straight over and sat there. It was like old times, because I used to sit with the mechanics every night on the tour. After I had my dinner, I'd go and sit with them for 45 minutes because they were still
working. They worked really deep into the night,
they were very
thorough.
And it was just, you know, they took such care of the bikes, or my bike in particular, Fernandez and Diego. They'd sleep with my time trial bike.
Yeah, that was
room.
Amazing. They wouldn't leave it in
the
truck,
would
they?
The car's parked over the back of the truck now. Because obviously they're terrified. There's a chance that the trucks get broken into at night.
It has happened, didn't it?
And the bike stolen. So they were that fanatical about my equipment that they would take my bikes to the room and sleep with them. And that's how much care they took about the job they did. So, you know, I'd go and sit with them 45, and it was actually the most therapeutic time of the day during the tour. The hustle and bustle, go to sit with normal folk, because otherwise you could not speak to a mechanic for weeks when you're on the tour.
No.
And I had a great relationship with them, and I still have to this day. And they were lovely, lovely guys. Yeah, yeah.
No, they did. When you walked off, they asked how you were. Now you can clearly see that they're very fond of you, mate. But I used to do the same thing. It's quite nice mooching about and speaking to other members of staff in the team, though, isn't it? Especially on a big squad like that, because you're so focused, aren't you, on the job at hand? And quite often it's giving a little bit back, and they really, really appreciate that as well.
Yeah.
Unless you're there hassling them, because I know some riders are like, I want to get involved, and it's like, well, this isn't my job. And some mechanics are particularly precious. Don't touch my tools. Wouldn't lend you an Allen key or something like that, because some are really, really fanatical.
Fernandez is the one, the Spanish one we were talking to. He's very close. He was very close to Chema Gonzalez, who died on the Vuelta in 2010. And he was my tour. He's my soigneur when I joined Sky on the tour. So he was always with me every race right up to the tour. I didn't do the Vuelta that year, and he died on the Vuelta. And Fernandez was very close to him and his family. And Chema had he'd remarried. He'd married a lady who already had a son. So it wasn't his son, but this kid was, his stepson was autistic.
Right.
Quite badly autistic. So the year after, I went to the Vuelta when I crashed out of the tour.
Yeah.
And Fernandez was like my sort of rock through that Vuelta, because I had a broken collarbone still, really, so I couldn't really get out of the saddle most of that Vuelta until the end. And then he said, oh, Chema's widow's coming to the race in the third week, because we were in the Basque Country, and his son's coming, and all he talks about is you, because he had a photo on the wall from his dad had a photo, yeah. Where his stepdad had a photo, and I gave him my red jersey that day that I had because I was leading the race.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was it was 11 years ago, and so it just shows you there's more to it's like a, it almost you build relationships with these people, it's like a family, you know.
Yeah, totally.
And so those things bond you forever. So I went and sat with them down there before we went to McDonald's for about half an hour, you know. It was like the old days. It's a lovely thing that cycling can still be like that. Yeah. And the staff are like that. You sort of form very close friendships with them. But when you sort of see the likes of Brailsford and things like that, it's very businesslike, you know, yeah. And sort of, hello, how are you doing again, you know. But the mechanics, you almost form friendships for life. Yeah.
No. Yeah. No, and I know there's a mechanic now with Green Edge or Bike Exchange called Craig Geeter, who was with us. He's a New Zealand lad. He was Armstrong's personal mechanic for years at Postal. But then he was with Linda McCartney, a lovely bloke. And to see him... but we still keep in touch. It's just you know, it's as if time hasn't actually passed. But so we're looking at the chain rings, weren't we? And they're looking at the gearing.
So
for
they
tomorrow.
Were doing all the chain. They were changing all the cassettes
for tomorrow's big stage up a climb that the tour hasn't been.
So they were
up.
Putting 34 cogs on the
34
rear,
on the back, 40 on the front.
Yeah,
which is quite an interesting ratio. Apparently, that's the maximum
standard now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's standard. So because they've got big ratios at the back, so the lowest gear for tomorrow's climb, the Col de Granon, 34.
So yes,
and that's a climb that hasn't been in the tour for since 1986.
Yeah, gone are the days of 39.23.
Oh, flipping it was like weight training, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's funny actually. When I was at Cofidis, so 39 was the standard. 39.52, wasn't it?
Yes.
Or 53. Rick Verbrugge always rode 41.23. He was just preferred 41. So it's funny how these ratios, and then, you know, you'd go either compact or you'd go to a 26 or a 27 sprocket for hilly days. But it just shows it's changed a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Because they're on a 53 now, 53.40.
Yeah.
Which shows that's probably why they're running so fast now as well.
Yeah, and the depends on the team. I know that the teams running SRAM have a 10 sprocket at the back. They've got an extra sprocket, but they still run a smaller inner ring. It's a different manufacturer's.
What is it now? 11 things. Speed? 12 speed?
12.
12 now, is it?
Yeah, and there is a 13 speed. Shimano. Yeah. No, yeah, there is a 13 speed out there, but I don't think it's on the road group sets just yet. So what do you think about tomorrow then? Today was no real GC. Well, there was a change in the GC.
It was fast and it was hot.
Yep.
But I think it's just a prelude to tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah.
And tomorrow's going to be a big, big day.
Well, we saw one change. Leonard Kemner took 9 minutes. Is now only 11 seconds. That was quite interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah. I thought they might try and let the jersey go.
Apparently, the talk of the town is that they were going to. But, I mean, they were cutting it fine, weren't they?
Well, I thought if they were going to do that, I then thought they might open themselves up to Ineos or someone else riding Jumbo to make them keep the jersey. So they would
keep
have to ride
on them, yeah.
It's interesting that they may have done, I don't know whether there's the deals done or anything like that, but is there a chance Bora might help tomorrow?
We'll see. With Kemner in it, Kemner's in a good position now because Vlasov has fallen away a little bit. Yeah. So Kemner, we saw how well he did in the Giro. But he's put himself, he hasn't won a stage now, but he's now second overall. He has put himself in the frame. It'd be interesting to see how deep he could go. He's such a versatile rider.
Tomorrow's a proper day, though.
It's a classic alpine stage with a.
I think we're going to see the makeup of the podium in Paris play come to the fore tomorrow. I think that's going to be. We're going to get a proper true idea of who's got this in this Tour de France.
I mean, the climbs you know very. We don't know the Granon, but you know the Telegraph, you know the Galibier.
I mean, that's where it's all going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward. They won't actually just.
Do we know at the top of the Galibier? Would they go up the top bit? Which is like 2,200, 2,300 metres.
Yeah, I think they do. I think they're right over the top. And where they finish, the Granon, where they finish tomorrow, is the second highest finish ever in Tour de France history. They don't normally finish as high as that. So, it's exceptionally high and brutally steep, 11%.
I've just noticed, actually, changing the subject, looking through into the Jumbo.
You're looking back at them now, aren't you?
Well, I'm just looking at it because I noticed they've got their own coffee machine, which is on top of a flight case. And it goes in the flight case, much like an amp.
Right, yeah.
And they obviously wheel that in and out each day.
It's quite cool, isn't it? It's
quite
amazing
cool,
what they're... But they've got their own little bubble. A little bubble. I'm trying to see if they've got...
not much of a bubble, is it?
It's more of a square. It's more of a room.
But yeah, I think tomorrow's going to be a good day. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
It's a short stage, relatively short, but tough nonetheless.
Yeah, 140-ish K, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's going to be a pretty long day in the saddle, but you just wonder how long they can keep up this intensity.
It's going to be hot.
Yes, it's getting hotter and hotter as we move. Yeah. And then we've got outdoors the following day. So I do agree with you. I think the Col de Granon for me is the hardest climb in this year's Tour de France. Simple as that. I think we're going to see some big, significant gaps.
Another thing that happened today was the protest.
Yeah.
Which I think we should probably talk about.
Well, you were in the midst of it, weren't you? I just saw it on TV.
And obviously, I didn't know what was happening at that time, but it did interrupt the race, and it was a bit dangerous to begin with because Bettiol just slid through that. But before, about 200 metres before we hit the protest, there was a single guy with a flare going off, which was odd because it was in the middle of nowhere, which was obviously a sign to the protesters to get on the road at that point,
right,
further down. And then we could see it was just a haze of flare further down, and obviously you couldn't see that. It was like, you know, thick fog, so you couldn't see what was going on.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been able to identify what was
there. And then everything just stopped, and it was a bit of a panic. And then by the time we got there with a motorbike, the ASO cars were already sort of people getting out, and at that point the haze started drifting away, and they started dragging people out quite violently, actually. It was quite... because I had a few messages on Instagram from people saying, you know, like... They got the wrong end of the stick about what I was saying and that, really, because I think I did say at the time that they're probably protesting over nothing, but I was sort of in the heat of the moment. So in hindsight, yeah, it's probably not a nothing issue.
No, not at all.
Now we know that it's about global warming, global climate.
Yeah, climate change protests.
Which is obviously a serious issue, but, you know, when you're in the heat of the Tour de France in that moment, it's not something that springs to mind, is it? Because, and I think that's where it gets a bit murky, is it, the freedom of to be able to protest for something, and whether sport is the platform to do that on. And you had an interesting point on that, which I kind of agree with you on.
Yeah, I mean, it's just playing the devil's advocate. You're just going to, if you're going to protest about anything, you're going to protest and cause the most inconvenience, because that's where you get headlines.
But it did get a bit handy, and it came on top a little bit. And I think ASO, the way they handled it was, one handled it with force. So it wasn't pleasant to witness.
Well, unsavoury images on the internet as a result. But I'm not too sure, in relation to French legislation, the powers that are vested on people who, I mean, essentially, ASO are civilians.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's quite a problematic situation, to be honest with you.
It is, yeah. So,
without dwelling on it, but, you know, because it's going to be out there, because it's headline news, isn't it? It was a big deal.
Yeah, the security, no one knew at that moment in time what it was all about and what was going to happen, because they did stop the race at that point, and we tried to get through on the motorbike, and they said, no motorbikes, we're closing the road now. And the gendarmes started turning around on their motorbikes and coming back to the scene, because at that point, I think they had to do a quick inspection of what was actually going on.
Yeah,
they would. And whether there was anything further on from a safety point of view.
Yeah, yeah.
So it all got a bit murky.
The race stopped for about 10 minutes in there, nearly 15 minutes, didn't it, they stopped for?
And Bettiol, so we did get up to Bettiol, who was circling around, keeping his legs going.
Warm, yeah.
And then they started the race again, and that was that. But then I did get to the finish and chat to a couple of the ASO guys, and they said that they're not sure whether this will probably happen again now the next few days, and whether this is a sign of things to come.
Yeah, Mr. Radio Tours.
It happened at the French Open as well, apparently.
Yeah.
So it's...
expect disruption, basically, yeah.
Potentially. So I think there's a... That is probably not... We've not heard the last of it. So in other news, I did see this morning, actually, aside from everything else that happened, Quickstep Alpha Vinyl have announced their new sponsor for next year.
Yes, Soudal,
isn't it?
It's going
to be Soudal Quickstep.
Yep.
And along with that, the news that Mark Cavendish will be leaving the squad.
Yeah. We know that he was hunting for a team earlier in the year. He openly said, well, we said that he was looking at options, and it's unofficially can't announce teams until the 1st of August, but quite clearly Patrick Lefebvre's gone on record. And he said, I think the words were, with a heavy heart, I can say that Mark Cavendish is no longer part of our setup or plans. So, you know, it was a respectful, relatively respectful statement from Patrick Lefebvre, because although there clearly is a little bit of beef between them after the decisions that have been made, there's also, I think, a massive amount of respect. And when you look at the success Mark has had with that team, you can't shy away from that. But let's hope Mark gets into a team that can take him to the Tour and get that record.
Yeah, absolutely. Who do we think he'll go to, Matt?
That's a good one, because
I have no idea at this stage.
What he doesn't want to go to is a team with another really big sprinter, does he, really? Unless, I mean, I think I would imagine...
Well, he's still got ambitions of himself, isn't he?
He's going to want to go to a team that can guarantee, barring illness and injury, that he's got a berth at the Tour. And for any other team, that's just getting Mark to the Tour to chase that record. It's massive.
But I imagine there will be no shortage of teams that would want that, or that would see a place for Mark in as their team.
Do you know the team I think that might be interesting have got good budget, Israel.
The other one I thought as well was Direct Energy.
Yeah, Direct Energy, yeah.
Because of the specialised link.
Yes, well, that's a good shout, mate. Yeah. A very good shout, yeah. And he could easily fit into that squad, even alongside Pete Zagan, because he's not a pure sprinter. That could be very interesting.
Yeah, it would be, with Edvald there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've got a good lead.
Nicky Terpstra.
Yeah, Danny Loss, a good lead out riders. Could be interesting.
Bognar Regis.
Yep, Bognar. Regis. Matej Bognar Regis.
So, tomorrow, we look forward to tomorrow, Matt.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
to it. You're returning to the Col de Granon for the first time since 1986, where you watched...
Rubbed up there with my dad.
Eduardo Chozas win the stage.
Eduardo Chozas of Tika. It was his first of two stage wins that year. Went on to win in St Etienne as well.
Do you remember Eno Lamont coming past?
I do. I've got some photos.
We saw Bernard this morning, didn't we, in the village?
Yeah, we did.
Good job he didn't get out of that car today.
Bernard, he's a bit handy, isn't he?
He is.
He's a bit of a... Yeah, a bit of a... Yeah, he's a bit handy with his fists.
He is. He's a bit like Derek Chisora.
I don't know who that is.
The boxer. He won at the weekend.
Oh, right.
Congratulations,
Dale Boy. Okay.
Yeah, so we'll see you tomorrow. All the best. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, just stand about the ice cream, but yeah.
Well, we'll get one.
We will.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.